Hello and welcome. Picture this. You open your eyes in the Achaemenid Persian Empire, and before you even think about your morning tea, your day is already mapped out, not by a planner, but by a sacred blueprint. In that world, religion wasn't a private belief tucked away in your heart. It was the operating system running the entire society, from the king's court to the fields outside your door. That might feel like a stretch if you grew up with the idea that religion is personal. But in the Achaemenid world, roughly 2,500 years ago, Zoroastrian ideas shaped how cities were planned, how marriages were written, how water was shared, and how truth itself was enforced. The core concept was Asha, order, truth, rightness. Think of Asha as gravity for society, an unseen force everyone assumed and everything depended on. Let me show you what this looked like up close. Because it's not just a set of ceremonies and distant temples. It's childbirth rituals, land disputes, marriage contracts, festival seasons, and city streets aligned around sacred fire. And yes, we know this not just from legend, but from boxes and boxes of clay tablets, administrative records from places like Persepolis, that read like the empire's receipts, schedules, and to-do lists. When you sift through that everyday paperwork, the divine starts showing up in the details. Here are five pillars that made this religious framework so all-encompassing and so effective. First, religious leaders were the empire's quiet social engineers. Priests and ritual experts weren't only there for prayers. They were interpreters of law, mediators of disputes, and witnesses to contracts. Imagine you're arguing with your neighbor over a water channel, a lifeline in an arid landscape. You wouldn't just see a government clerk. You'd likely find a priest-scribe who knows the sacred texts, knows the customary law, and has the authority to say which claim aligns with Asha. Land transfers, inheritance puzzles, even ration distributions recorded in the Persepolis archives. Time and again, you find religious specialists keeping the gears turning. Outside the king himself, this religious hierarchy was one of the most potent institutions in the empire. They designed social order the way architects design a city skyline, not loudly, but permanently. Second, religious principles shaped the very layout of cities and the rhythm of public space. If you could walk into a thriving Achaemenid center, you'd feel it. Fire temples, symbols of purity and presence, anchored the sacred landscape. Around them, you'd find careful attention to what was pure and what was polluting. Where people gathered to deliberate, where crafts were practiced, where water had to remain clean. It's a bit like how modern cities have zoning laws. Except the zoning code here wasn't only practical, it was theological. The result was an urban choreography that kept the sacred visible and the community in tune with the divine. Roads, courtyards, storage complexes, royal halls, together they staged a world where order was not just preached, but physically experienced. Third, family life, and especially marriage, was a legal and sacred dance guided by the same principles. A marriage contract in the Achaemenid Empire was not a dry secular form. It was a vow shaped by religion that defined property rights, family roles, and responsibilities with real precision. These contracts were the DNA of the household economy. They protected dowries, they laid out how property would pass to children, and they carried moral weight in courts. And yes, you'll find references in ancient texts to practices like fwaith kavatatha, forms of kin marriage, particularly in elite circles, understood then as mirroring a divine kind of order. Whether or not it was common, the crucial point is this. Marriage was never just personal. It was a sacred institution with legal teeth, built to align the household with Asha. Fourth, Asha itself wasn't just a lofty idea. It was the legal backbone. Think about the last time you had to sign something solemn. In the Achaemenid world, swearing truth wasn't just a formality, it was a cosmic act. To lie was to side with chaos, the force opposed to Asha. That's not metaphorical rhetoric, it's the logic that shaped oaths, testimonies, and penalties. Judges, often trained in religious learning, weren't only deciding what happened, they were deciding what was right in a universe where rightness had divine stakes. You can feel this in the words of kings like Darius, who framed his legitimacy around truth versus the lie. Law didn't just keep order. Law was order, and it drew its authority from a moral universe everyone recognized. Fifth, festivals and communal rituals were glue, beautiful, rhythmic glue. Take the new year at spring, echoed in the processions at Persepolis, where delegations brought gifts, or the winter solstice celebration we now call Yalda Night. These weren't just parties. They were carefully stitched rituals that turned cosmic cycles into social solidarity. When the longest night arrived, people gathered to outlast the darkness together. When spring returned, they renewed bonds and promises. Ritual didn't distract from work, it made work meaningful, and it reminded everyone, from artisans to governors, that they were part of a story bigger than themselves. Now, why do we so often miss all this? Because we keep using a modern lens. We try to peel religion away from administration, from law, from family life, as if it's a Sunday morning add-on. But in the Achaemenid Empire, religion was the frame that held the painting. If you remove it, the whole scene falls apart. When historians and archaeologists approach the evidence with that integrated lens, helped by new imaging of tablets, better readings of ancient scripts, and smarter ways to connect inscriptions with physical sites, suddenly the picture gets sharper. You can see how the king's ideology, the priest's rulebook, the farmer's schedule, and the city's map all point in the same direction. Let's bring this down to the scale of a single day. You wake, offer a simple prayer, and step into routines that are both ordinary and sacred. Your work allocation, maybe recorded on a clay tablet, ties you to a network of storage depots and rations, all tracked by officials who answer to values as much as to quotas. You help maintain a water channel, because clean water isn't just useful, it's protected by purity laws that make negligence a moral failure. You witness a neighbor's contract, because truth is everyone's business, not just the court's. By evening, you join your family around a small flame, a reminder that fire is more than light, it's a living presence that must be kept clean. Whether you're a noble in a terraced hall, or a laborer near the granaries, you're inside the same story. Does this have anything to say to us today? I think so, and not in a simplistic, copy-the-past kind of way. The Achaemenid world shows what happens when a society aligns its institutions with a shared moral north. It's a masterclass in coherence. Leaders used ritual and architecture to make values visible. Contracts and courts didn't just punish bad behavior. They coached better behavior by putting truth at the center. Festivals weren't tacked-on perks. They were strategic rituals that kept communities resilient through change. If you lead a team or run a classroom, there's a lesson here. Culture is not a memo. It's the architecture, the calendar, the ceremonies, the stories people tell when no one is watching. The Persians understood that alignment isn't an accident. They built it, through sacred spaces, through legal language, through the rhythm of the year, until it shaped how people moved, traded, married, and governed. And this is where the research gets exciting.
The more we decode those tablets from Persepolis,
the ration lists, the travel permits, the little receipts, and the more we connect them to the palaces, roads, and shrines we can still walk through today, the more we see a society running on a system that was at once spiritual and practical. It wasn't perfect, of course. No empire is. But it was astonishingly intentional. So the next time you imagine an ancient empire, don't picture separate silos, priests over here, administrators over there, families somewhere else.
Picture one fabric, woven tight.
The warp is belief, the weft is daily life.
Pull one thread, and the pattern distorts.
If this has sparked your curiosity, you'll find richer detail in the written guide, examples, sources, and the fine-grained bits we didn't have time to unpack here. But for now, I'll leave you with this. The Achaemenid Persians weren't just building palaces and roads. They were building meaning, carefully, consistently, from the courtroom to the kitchen. And that, I think, is why their story still has something to teach us about how to live, how to lead, and how to keep our own worlds in order. Thanks for listening, and I can't wait to explore more of this world with you next time.